Hey, good morning, Chapel family. Welcome to the third Sunday of Advent. It's going fast. I want to take just a minute to thank some of you who have been involved in some of our Christmas giving opportunities that we've had recently, and I actually want to highlight one of those. The Chapel partners with an organization called Street Hope Alive, and they work with children in Patterson, many of them from very high-risk situations. And so one of the big events they do every year, it's called Christmas in Patterson. They gather kids on the streets of Patterson, and they tell the Christmas story, they share the gospel, they give out gifts. It actually happened yesterday. I don't have any pictures from yesterday's event, which looked a little bit different because of the pandemic, but this is a picture from last year's event. Really a beautiful ministry. So I wanted just to show you a post from the Facebook page of Street Hope Alive from a few days ago. So this was on their Facebook page. This is Renee Fanick, who is the director of this ministry. And the caption says, "Shout out to the chapel for this incredible Christmas toy donation. We are beyond grateful and are so excited for the kids to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of Christmas in Patterson." So you guys were incredibly generous to contribute to this event this year. Renee says it's the most things that were ever donated, and not only the toys, but financial gifts of more than $5,000 came in to help make this event happen. So just a big thank you to all of you who were part of that. As was just mentioned, you have another opportunity. If you do come to the Christmas Village, we're working with another ministry partner called New City Kids, who works also with families in Patterson. And so we're hoping nobody comes to the village empty-handed. You've got a toy or a packaged snack item or hats, gloves, scarves. You can see the full list on our website. And we're going to be putting together those packages and delivering them to families in Patterson. By the way, there's also an option on our website that you can actually order through Amazon directly and just have it shipped to the chapel. So you don't even have to go to a store. And we already have this growing pile of Amazon boxes in our chapel lobby of people who are sending those gifts in. So the pandemic can stop us from doing a lot. It cannot stop our generosity. Amen? So let's keep that going. So we've been saying every week that this December feels a little darker than it does normally with all the things related to the pandemic. I know for some of you personally, because I spend time with you guys throughout the week, I know you're facing some really dark things. And all of that would just be completely discouraging except for one thing. When the darkness is the deepest, that's when the light shines the brightest. And so I really believe, and I'm seeing this, that because of the darkness this year, there are things about Christmas that we are noticing and appreciating that we normally just don't even pay any attention to. I know for me, this year, when I sing a Christmas carol or when I see somebody's house lit up, it carries more meaning to me this year. It almost feels like my soul is hungry for light this year more than it usually is. And so that's the theme for this Advent series this year, light in the darkness. The first week we went all the way back to Isaiah chapter 1. We talked about darkness. The second week we went to Isaiah chapter 9 and we talked about this promise that God made about bringing light into the darkness. Today we are going to jump into the New Testament, and I want to talk about this concept of preparation. The light was just about to come into the world, but before it did, God had to prepare the heart of a very key player in this whole drama. So let's look at today's scripture, Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. And I invite you now to hear the word of God. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. This passage teaches us three big things about how God prepares people for the coming of the light. Here they are. Darkness disorients. God speaks, and faith obeys. All right? Darkness disorients. God speaks, and faith obeys. So first, darkness disorients. Let's talk a little bit about Joseph. The average age for a man to marry in that culture was about 18 to 20. So Joseph was a very young man. Mary, by the way, was likely even younger, probably somewhere in her mid-teens. So can you even begin to imagine the conversation that must have taken place between Joseph and Mary? Can you imagine what that would have felt like? And remember, at this point, Mary had already been met by an angel who had explained to her that she would become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And so when it actually happened, when Mary realized she was pregnant, of course, she knew why. I mean, it was impossible and it was crazy, but it was happening and she knew why it was happening. It doesn't say when she told Joseph. I mean, did she run to him immediately after the angel visited her? Maybe. We find out in Luke's gospel that Mary actually spent the first 3 months of her pregnancy at the home of her relative Elizabeth. And so it's possible that she waited until she got back home from that visit, so right about the time that she was beginning to show, before she broke the news to her fiancé, her betrothed. But at some point, she sat down with her fiancé, and she had that really awkward conversation. Joseph, I'm pregnant, but it's not what you think. And I really think that Joseph wanted to believe her. I mean, he saw the earnestness in her eyes. He knew this girl. He knew she was not a liar. But still, this was a stretch. There's this really creative poem by W.H. Auden, and it's about Joseph's soul taunting him. And let me just read you a few lines from the poem. Joseph, have you heard what Mary said occurred? Yes, it may be so. Is it likely? No. Mary may be pure, but Joseph, are you sure? How is one to tell? Suppose, for instance, well, maybe, maybe not. But Joseph, you know what your world will say about you anyway. And so Joseph wrestled with this. And at the end of the day, he just could not bring himself to believe. I mean, can any of us blame him? Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. They weren't married yet, but they were betrothed. This is different than engagement in our culture. Because in our culture, you can change your mind during the engagement, right? And you can ask for the ring back. And it's sad, but you know, it's not divorce. It's not that tragic. It happens in our culture all the time. But back then, breaking your betrothal was considered divorce. And if your betrothed had been unfaithful to you, that was considered adultery. And the Hebrew law just expected that you would divorce the unfaithful one. And so Joseph intended to be faithful to the law by divorcing Mary. Now, if he wanted to, he could have gained something by doing it publicly. So he could have brought her to court. They probably would have impounded her dowry, all the assets that she was bringing into marriage, and they would have given that to Joseph to compensate him for his public shame in all this. If he had paid some kind of a bride price to Mary's father when he proposed to her, he could have gotten that back. He could have gotten a refund on the bride price. So Joseph definitely had some things to gain by dragging her to court. Here's where we start to see something about the character of Joseph. No matter what Mary may have done, it says he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. And so the Hebrew law said that you could just present a certificate of divorce in the presence of two witnesses very discreetly, end the marriage that way. And so that was Joseph's plan. This was a dark moment for Joseph, don't you think? And when I say dark, I don't necessarily mean, you know, bad and awful, although, you know, it had some of that also. But I mean dark in the sense of just confusing, bewildering. Darkness just disorients us. Years ago, Norma Jean and I bought a true fixer-upper. I mean, a house that needed everything done to it. And we started renovating it. Funds were short. We did as much of the work ourselves as we could do. We brought in a bunch of friends to, you know, do demolition and start some of the reconstruction. We really couldn't afford contractors. And so we found some people who were almost contractors. They stayed at a Holiday Inn Express the night before, so they thought they could do it. We hired them. And things predictably started going wrong, and funds were running out. And I remember one particular day, we were living somewhere else while we renovated that house, and I walked up to the house that we were working on, and I noticed on the front door there was this bright orange certificate that had been posted. It was from the building department ordering all construction to stop until we could remedy this long list of building code violations that had been made on the house. And I remember just seeing that and feeling so disheartened. Fixing all those things would require thousands of dollars, which we just didn't have. And, oh, by the way, Norma Jean was experiencing a really rough pregnancy of our fourth child at that time. I often tell people, I was just telling somebody this story last week, that was the moment in my life that I learned to respect the physical power of stress in our lives. I mean, I always knew stress was an emotional thing. I didn't quite realize what it can do to you physically. And so in my case, I developed really bad stomach problems that lasted for about a year, just that stress playing itself out in my body. It was a dark time. Darkness disorients us. It throws us off our game. It shakes our confidence and makes us feel uncertain. It beats us down. Anybody feeling any darkness lately? So in the darkness and the disorientation of that moment, Joseph went home and he went to bed. I think sometimes the wisest thing we can do is just stop trying to figure it out and just go to bed. Little did Joseph realize that would be maybe the second most significant night of his life. He had another big night coming up, but it was an extremely significant night. Point number two, God speaks. When you see the way that Joseph tried to protect Mary's reputation and treat her with compassion, you can't help but admire the guy, right? I mean, Joseph was clearly a good, moral, loving person. But here's the thing. In order to find our way through the darkness, being a kind, moral person is not quite enough. I mean, Joseph needed something more than just being a good guy. He needed something supernatural. Specifically, Joseph needed to be receptive to the voice of God. So verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her really is from the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what Joseph needed to hear at that moment. This was God's word to him in this specific situation. And did you notice the first thing the angel said? Do not be afraid to do this. Because the thought of not divorcing her, the thought of actually going through with the wedding, was a scary thought. Even if he could somehow convince himself that the baby was really from God, he was afraid of how that would play out in his life. Isn't that just a human tendency? That when there's something that's unknown, we just tend to be afraid of it, right? We just assume it's going to be scary, it's going to be threatening. You ever seen these old maps, these ancient sailors' maps? I pulled one of these off the internet. So they would map out what they knew, what they had explored, but then in the areas that they hadn't quite explored yet, like you see that down on the lower left, you notice what they draw there? See what that is? That's a dragon. And you see these all over these ancient maps. And sometimes it even says, there's written in, beyond this, there be dragons. Arrgh. So why would they assume that beyond what they know, there's dangerous stuff? I mean, they could have assumed that there'd be positive stuff, right? Could have said, beyond this, there are, you know, tropical islands and beautiful mermaids and coconut trees. You know, they could have assumed all kinds of good stuff. But human nature tends to assume that if it's something we don't know yet, it's scary, it's foreboding, it's dangerous. There'd be dragons out there. It's human nature. Scared when we're confronted with something that doesn't fit our categories. And so, instead of saying, maybe this is a place that God wants to stretch me and kind of make my understanding of him bigger, we push him away and stay where we are. I like the way A.W. Tozer described this. He said, we can wind up with a God who can never surprise us, never overwhelm us, never astonish us, never transcend us. Let me ask you a really important question. When is the last time that God surprised you, astonished you, transcended you, overwhelmed you? Maybe you've really kind of put God in this little neat box, and maybe this Christmas it's time to let him out. Joseph was afraid, but through the angel that night, God's word came to him, and he was starting to realize that maybe God is bigger and more wondrous and more mysterious than he had ever imagined. So, what does this mean for us? Well, when you find yourself disoriented by the darkness of life, what you need most is to hear the voice of God. And maybe for some of you, that's just way too mystical. You go, whoa, man, that's too weird. Let me just demystify this a little bit. The main way that God speaks to us is through the written word of God, through the scriptures. Does God still send angels with, you know, midnight messages to those he wants to communicate with? Maybe. I mean, God can do anything. I wouldn't put that past him. But the main way and the most reliable way that God speaks to us today is through the living, active, God-breathed pages of Holy Scripture. And so here's what I'm saying. When you find yourself surrounded by darkness, the wisest thing you can do is to open up the scriptures and then be on the edge of your seat waiting for God to speak to you, to receive what God has for you. If you listen, he will speak. A couple of years ago, I talked about this concept in a sermon, and a guy from our congregation emailed me about how meaningful that had been to him. He had never thought about coming to the Bible every morning expecting to hear a fresh word from God. And so how this was beginning to just transform his spiritual life. And he was all fired up and he was growing. So that was maybe a year and a half ago. A couple of months ago, he emailed me again. And he said that he had just been diagnosed with cancer and that he was just about to go in for surgery and have this mass removed from his body. And so he had reached out to me for prayer. And I just, you know, of course, I told him I'd be praying for him, but I just want to read you a couple lines from my email to him. I said, your earlier email reminded me of the commitment that you had made about hearing God through Scripture. I don't know how that's been going for you, but I encourage you to listen carefully to God's voice through his word at this moment in your life. I have a feeling he has strong words of encouragement for you. This was a person who was facing a dark time, and what he needed most at that moment, just like Joseph, was to hear the word of God, the voice of God. And, you know, I think I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, Pastor Dave, how can you compare Joseph getting visited by an angel and me reading the Bible? I mean, it doesn't seem like you can compare those things. How can you say that it's the same thing? Because it's the same God sending his word. It's just a different form. But Pastor Dave, how can you be sure that the part of Scripture that I happen to read will coincide with what's happening in my life? Because God is sovereign. Because God is in control. You didn't just happen to read that piece of Scripture that morning. Like it says in Proverbs, the heart of a person plans their way, but the Lord directs their steps. And for reasons that you can't figure out in the mysterious sovereignty of God, you were meant to read that passage that morning, and God was meant to take that passage and the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and unfold for you, to enlighten for you the will of God for that particular situation in your life. Try it. Make a commitment to meet with God every morning and then realize you're human And you won't be perfect and be satisfied with 3 or 4 good meetings per week. Let's be realistic, right? And each time, try praying the prayer that young Samuel prayed when he was learning to be a prophet and hear the voice of God. His mentor, Eli, said, here's what you do. Go lie down and say these words. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So just try it. Come to the Word of God regularly. Say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then read a small passage of Scripture. Read it slowly. Read it expectantly. And then take some time to meditate on it. That's usually the missing piece. Very often what I will do is I'll read that passage of Scripture. I'll take a look at it closely. I'll take a few notes on it. And then I'll take 5 or 10 minutes and I'll go do something. I'll empty the dishwasher. Earn a few points with my wife while I'm at it. I'll go and pick up some sticks in the yard, but the whole time I'm chewing on that passage. That's called meditation, thinking about it, thinking about how it relates to other scripture, thinking about how it relates to my situation in life, saying, Lord, speak to me through this word. And you will be amazed at how uncanny it is that God will take his word and he will speak to you specifically in the situation that you are going through. Darkness disorients us, but in that darkness, if we're listening, God speaks. It's what he did for Joseph. Don't be afraid to go through with the wedding, Joseph. The baby in Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The angel continued in verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then Matthew, the gospel writer, explains all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means in Hebrew, God with us. And every one of those verses just adds wonder to this whole thing. If Christmas has become routine to you, just look at this with fresh eyes. Verse 21 says that this son to be born will do something so cosmically significant that it will rescue people from their sin, from all of their mistakes and all of their regrets. It'll rescue them from that. It's amazing. Verse 22 says this whole thing is not something God just thought up spur of the moment. Like, oh, there's Mary. Why don't I send a Messiah into the world? No, this is something that had been planned from centuries before, spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. This was this epic drama that was being played out that Joseph was getting to be a part of. And then verse 23 quotes that verse from Isaiah, and it says that people will call this child Emmanuel, which means God with us. As if our minds are not stretched enough by this whole thing, the baby to be born would actually be God. Joseph was so disoriented by the darkness of this situation, but God's word had spoken, and now God's will was clear. And so the next morning, Joseph woke up with a decision to make. Point number 3, faith obeys. Try to picture Joseph waking up the next morning. Over on his dresser are the divorce papers. Hasn't signed them yet, right? Because he's been wrestling with this. And he's faced with this big decision. You ever found yourself in that kind of position? Like, man, I got to decide. How is God speaking in your darkness lately? I mean, is he stretching your concept of who he is and calling you to respond to his voice? I know some of you are thinking, man, I don't know about all this. I'm a good person. I've always believed in God. I know. I'm a nice guy. And I'm sure that's true, that you're a nice person. So was Joseph. Joseph was a really nice guy. But in order for Joseph to be part of God's plan, in order for the light to come, Joseph needed to respond to the voice of God. So maybe for you, maybe there's some kind of ministry or service that's been haunting you. Maybe it's a mission endeavor, or it's an opportunity to serve in your town where you live. Maybe it's an opportunity to serve through the church, and you've just been sensing that God has been calling you to use your gifts and to do this, and you feel a passion to do it. But at the same time, you're scared. You know, there's some dragons out there. You don't know how that would play out. I was talking with one of our musicians who is a regular part of our worship ministry now. Years ago, he came up to me and he said, you know, I was reading in the Gospels about Jesus calling Peter to step out of the boat, to step out of his comfort zone and to step toward him. And he said, I knew God was talking to me. I knew I have this gift of music and I haven't been using it for God. And I knew that was his word to me and it was time to respond. And so he stepped out in faith and God has been using him significantly for several years now. Maybe for you, it's a marriage situation, like it was for Joseph, because it's just been so hard, and you've been hurt, and just like Joseph, you think maybe it's time to end it. But as you read those scriptures about God's faithfulness to us, you're reminded of the vows that you made to this person. You remembered the covenant that you entered into in the sight of God. And you sense the voice of God through scriptures calling you to humility and listening and forgiveness. And it's hard because you're a private person. You're not the kind of person who reaches out for help or other people to know about what's going on. But God is stretching you. He's stretching you to reach out to someone you can trust, a pastor or a counselor or even just a friend. The voice of God is saying, don't be afraid. And you're going to respond to God's voice by stepping into this scary place and seeking God's best for your life and your marriage and your children. In this season of miracles, maybe God is about to do a miracle, bring that light into your marriage. Let me just give one more possibility. I know that this pandemic has caused some really financial hard times for people. And it seems like this is going to be a Christmas where God is going to provide for some of his financially challenged children through some of his not so financially challenged children. Because some people are doing fine. You know, you've noticed the pandemic has affected people differently. Some of you guys are doing great. So for some of you guys, it's even increased your business. And so what I would encourage you to do is just be attentive to the voice of God. As you read the scriptures, as you hear about generosity, which is all through the scriptures, is God speaking something to you? Maybe this is an exciting thing with your family. If you're married, you pray about it with your wife. If you've got kids, maybe you talk to your kids. Hey, who is God leading us to give to? Make it a family project to give to someone. Or if you're single, maybe it's a project for you, just between you and God, to give in secret. And the Lord, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. You say, man, I don't know, I've never done that before. Do a little something different this year. This is a different kind of Christmas, and sometimes different is really good. I don't know how God is going to speak to you, but I know he speaks. That's how he prepares us for the light that he wants to bring into the world. That's what happened to Joseph. Honestly, I don't know how much Joseph wrestled with that decision. It still would have been easier for him to divorce Mary quietly, right? That was still an option on the table. But God's voice had been so clear. And so verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph got out of bed and he tore up the divorce papers. And he went to his betrothed, to Mary, and he must have said something like this: I don't really understand this. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't even know if anyone else will believe us, but I believe you. And even more importantly, I believe God. And that step of faith, that decision to obey, opened up the door for Joseph to be part, to be actually a really big part of God's bringing of light into this world. Joseph was an ordinary guy. And I'm sure he wrestled with doubt, even as he was doing that, right? And yet he had just enough faith to obey. How about you? The darkness of life can be so disorienting, right? But when we're in those times of darkness, God is preparing us for something. And if we will listen, he will speak. He will speak. And if we have the faith, just enough faith to obey, that's when the light will start flooding in. It's such a sacred time of the year, isn't it? And my prayer for all of us is that we will leave room for God to surprise us and to stretch us and to shine his light through us. Amen? Would you rise as we close in prayer? And I want to let you know that next week, obviously, is the fourth Sunday of Advent. We will be closing our Advent series by receiving communion together. And so if you're going to be joining us from home, just make sure that you have some bread and some juice or wine to participate in communion. Of course, if you're at the chapel in person, we provide those communion elements, but we think it's just going to be the perfect way to get our hearts ready to celebrate Christmas. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray this morning for those who are enveloped in darkness right now, and they feel so disoriented by the darkness. Father, would you give us ears to hear as you speak to us, as you speak to us through your word? Lord, help us to be on the edge of our seat listening to what you would say to us. And then, Lord, give us just enough faith to obey. I pray, Father, that we would trust that even in the darkness, you're preparing us, you're getting us ready, and that the light will flood in. And Lord, I pray for that light to be in our hearts, in our homes, this Christmas season. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for the light of Jesus Christ. We go out now in his powerful name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.